More of Lake Effect Now on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. There is a growing body of research on the importance of human-to-human contact. Studies have found that physical interactions with other people can reduce stress, improve physical health, and increase compassion.
So it may be unsurprising that more and more people are turning to professional cuddlers to improve their overall well-being. Denise Loveridge is a professional cuddler and the only person in the Milwaukee area licensed through the Cuddlist organization.
Loveridge was featured in this month's Milwaukee magazine, and she spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers about the work of a professional cuddler.
The concept behind professional cuddling is not everybody has access to comforting touch, especially I think now we're somewhat of a society that has a lot of lonely people. There's a lot of anxiety. And it allows people to get the type of therapeutic touch that they could be missing in their lives. Yeah. And to do it in a safe environment that's very consent-oriented, where they can fully come in, relax, be themselves.
Now, when you say comforting touch, therapeutic touch, what do you mean by that?
Well, a lot of people associate any type of intimate touch as being sexual touch, and in a cuddling environment, it is platonic. There are agreements in place. But it is a place where you can get very close to another person and feel safe to embrace, safe to let down your guard, you know, be your authentic self without worrying about, you know, shame with touch that sometimes comes out in our society, or, you know, anxiety, concern about feeling vulnerable. Really, I think it kind of comes back to that feeling we have when, you know, we're children, and if we're in an anxious situation, we want to be held. And if we're in a happy situation, we want to be held. Pretty much in any type of strong emotion, a lot of what we want is reaching out and touching people. And it's a safe way to get that. We don't have to worry about, you know, some of the concerns people would have just asking a friend or someone to give them that type of touch.
So give me an example of what a typical session might look like.
That's difficult. There's not really a typical session. A session can go anywhere from very little touch, where it's really just kind of holding presence with the person, listening, having conversation, maybe holding hands, to, you know, laying down and spooning, a full-on embrace. You may hold that embrace for a few seconds, or you may really just kind of sink into it for, you know, 10 or 15 minutes in silence or while talking. It's completely guided by what the client is comfortable with and what they're looking for. And then oftentimes by, you know, where they are in the process. If they've been to a session before and they're feeling more comfortable, you may find that the touch becomes, you know, more contact becomes involved. But not everybody's looking for the same thing. Some people are looking to become comfortable with touch. They've never really experienced comforting, nurturing type of touch, and they're looking for that. They feel they're missing something. You know, others are maybe taking a break from dating, but they don't want to get rid of cuddling. And so it's a safe way for them to say, you know, I get this experience, but I don't have to deal with dating right now. And for others, it really helps with reducing anxiety. If they have chronic pain, it can help with dealing with that. Sleeping better, reducing blood pressure. It has a lot of really, really good effects in that way.
So when people come in for a cuddling session, are they familiar with cuddling as a kind of profession, as a kind of therapy, as opposed to how we might culturally think of cuddling more generally?
They may not initially. I don't have a session with the client without speaking to them directly. My preference is to meet them in person. But oftentimes it's, you know, a phone call or a video chat of some sort where we talk about, you know, what they're looking for, how they came to find cuddling. And then I'm able to kind of discern, you know, if it really fits into what I provide. Because there are people who do think that there is a little more of a sexual aspect to it, and there's not. And it's a way to really kind of vet through that and explain that it would be a very frustrating experience for them to spend time with me because there is no sexual experience. You know, they're looking for a different service than what I provide. And to help set those boundaries, you know, there's a code of conduct on, you know, what you wear, where you can touch, and also just fully consenting. Before there's any touch, both parties have to feel comfortable. Both parties consent, you know, throughout the process. You make an agreement in the beginning. If anyone's uncomfortable at any time, You know, we stop, and then we find what's going to be comfortable. And so there's a lot of discussion around what the expectation is, and then also kind of setting what the boundaries will be and explaining, you know, the benefits that can come from it.
What are the kinds of misconceptions that you hear, not only from clients that you work with, but also people in your life, people who you talk to about your profession?
Well, I think a lot of people don't believe that men and women platonically cuddle. They think that that men don't have that ability, which is not true. The majority of my clients are men. I've had females as well. And they are, you know, if they make it to actually having a session with me after I go through the vetting process, they truly are looking at receiving comforting touch. That is why they're there. That doesn't mean there's never any, you know, energy that we would need to say, you know what, this isn't the right kind of energy. Let's change positions. Let's slow down. But they truly are looking for that nurturing. And so helping people understand that that's truly something that both men and women are looking for in their lives. And I think a lot of people, you know, especially family, close friends, worry about safety. You know, is it a safe thing to do? And there's safety protocols I have in place that, you know, ensure that. And I've never actually felt in danger in any way. And I think that's because I go through the vetting and I do have a safety procedure. And my clients are well aware of that, you know, before they have a session with me.
How did you first come to this profession? How did you first become a professional cuddler?
You know, I had seen it for many years. I'd read a little few things here and there, probably a good 5-6 years ago, just with things that are called like cuddle parties that were happening. And I just found it, you know, first thought is that's weird, but interesting. And it just seemed like every now and then it would crop up. And I would see it in, there was a TV show about unusual jobs, and that was on there. And I worked for a nonprofit, wonderful job, I love it. But I was looking for a little extra income. And, you know, I just kind of naturally started investigating it. And I really wanted to do it in a thoughtful way and in a way that I felt was going to truly provide a service to help people. And so I did quite a bit of research in deciding, you know, how I was going to kind of go into this. And that's what drew me to Cuddlist, because they have an excellent program. They have a training program in place. They have great resources throughout the process. And once you're certified as well, a lot of support. And just kind of provide that framework to do it in a way that's, you know, really conscious of what we're trying to do.
What would your advice be to someone who might be interested in cuddling as either a profession or as a therapeutic process, who might be a little leery, a little cautious about engaging in cuddling?
Well, I think a lot of it takes just some time to reflect on if you're comfortable with a wide range of people, because you're going to have all different types of people. You're going to have both males and females, gender nonconforming individuals, and having a comfort level that as long as you feel safe, being able to, you know, really embrace people and have compassion and be able to be comfortable in that type of environment. And I would encourage them to really do some research. You know, I think Cuddlist is a great place to start, but there's a lot of information on the internet where you can read about it and start to just learn a little bit about what it entails and determine if you think maybe it's something that you would be comfortable with. Another thing you can do is there's something called cuddle parties. I do not do cuddle parties. I may in the future. But it's a place where, you know, people sign up. There is a trained, you know, cuddlist or cuddle professional of some sort who runs the what they call party. And it's a place where you go and there's going to be other people you're going to meet. Most of them are strangers. And there's boundaries that are set. And you talk about, you know, why you're there. And then you get a period of time to, you know, cuddle with people you're comfortable with. And some people don't cuddle at all. Some people observe. But you can kind of find that you know, if you really kind of let down those walls, you can become really comfortable with people in a pretty quick manner. And just, I don't know, to me, it's a kind of a way to kind of get back to our basic humanity of just holding each other. It can be a really powerful experience. And that would be a good way to start, because then you're in an environment where you potentially can cuddle with a variety of people, you know, of course, in a consent-based way.
Well, Denise, thank you so much for coming into studio and talking with me today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Denise Loveridge is a cuddlist in the Milwaukee area. She was featured in an article in this month's Milwaukee Magazine, and she spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers.